Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado. No wonder Chevy Silverado is the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
I have been a fan of magic since as long as I can remember. I'm sorry I never took it up, but it always looked too hard for me. My favorite magician is David Parr, who is in town into September, all the way to almost late September, September 25th, at the Magic Lounge. Hi, David.
Hi, Rick.
How are you?
I'm good. It's been a while.
It has. Not that long, but, you know, there was COVID, then there was something else, and there was something else, and there was something else. When did you fell in love, if memory serves, you fell in love with magic very young, didn't you?
I did. I received a magic set as a gift when I was 7 years old.
Mm.
And I was hooked instantly. I mean, the idea of poring over secret information in the solitude of my room was so appealing to me. My parents soon learned that it wasn't a punishment to send me to my room.
Yes, you said, oh, please, please.
I was perfectly content.
What was it? I mean, you've been at it for nearly half a century. What was it? I mean, it obviously was a relatively simple package of magic tricks, but it still sparked something in you, didn't it?
I think so. I think, you know, I've discovered that in talking with magicians, generally we caught the magic bug between ages 7 and 13.
Hmm.
And it's a very turbulent time, I think, in people's lives. At that point, you're kind of figuring out who you are.
Exactly.
And what your place is in the world. And we don't have much power or autonomy during that. We don't have much agency in our lives at that point. So when you can perform something and it completely baffles a grown-up,
yeah,
like a grown-up responds, like, I have no idea how you did that. That's not just symbolic power. That's real power.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. At what age you obviously expanded your not just your repertoire, but your tools of the trade from the time you were 7. When did you start to think that this might be a career? When does that happen? Because that's kids in high school, you're going to be a doctor, you're going to be a policeman, you're going to be a cowboy. You don't often, it's one out of hundreds, I suppose, who says, well, I want to be a magician, right? When did
true,
that
happen? It's true. There was never a distinct turning point for me.
Mm-hmm.
The fact was, I was into magic so much at age 7 and on that it just grew with me as I grew. So
wow.
By the time I was 10, 11, 12, I was doing paid gigs. I was working the library circuit of my hometown.
Ah, and what was your hometown?
Doing like summer programs for kids. It was Milwaukee.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm sure I knew that, but I maybe forgot.
Yeah, so I was performing magic regularly all the way through junior high school and high school. So there was never a point where I thought, oh, you know, this is what I could do as a job.
Yeah.
I was already doing it.
What was the magic? You were a big, I've always remembered you're big about community and about magic history. What was the magic scene? Was there a magic community in Milwaukee as you were growing up? Were there magic bars? Were there magic stores? Were there other magicians you could talk with?
There was a bit of a magic scene in Milwaukee. I remember there was a magic shop about 20 miles away from the house where I grew up, and I remember like asking my parents to take me there. Mm. So like trips to the magic shop became a regular occurrence on the weekend. I would save up my money so I could buy some prop or book there. But Chicago was really a major hub for magic.
Yep.
And when I was growing up, my grandparents lived in Evanston.
Mm.
you know, just north of the city.
Sure.
So we spent a lot of weekends visiting my grandparents, and so Chicago became sort of my magic home. And I had a lot of friends there who did magic. And so Chicago's always been a second home to me, and it was a major magic hub. I mean, you know, Blackstone Senior was from Chicago, and
Jay Marshall,
right? And many of the touring magic shows would come through Chicago and play the theaters and clubs there. So there was always a very thriving magic scene there that wasn't in my hometown.
David Parr, when you decide, and I'm sure you have to decide at one point, at which it's like I think of magicians kind of as I think of doctors, that they will go toward a certain specialty. Like, you know, who was that? David Copperfield would go to the let's make an elephant disappear specialty. But you were drawn to close-up magic, were you not?
Yes, yeah. And I think part of that was because of my experience in Chicago. You know, Chicago has long been identified Chicago magicians were pioneers of the close-up magic, starting with Matt Shulian.
Sure,
and Shulian
famous bar. Sure.
Yeah, and so it was a very participatory style of magic where there was no fourth wall between the magician and the audience, and it was sort of a collective experience for people.
When I also
and
think...
grew up with that style
and
of magic.
Having seen you do your thing, there's a lot of it's there's something very theatrical about it too. Of course, the focus is on the magic, but it also incorporates games and storytelling and history and folklore. True. You are now performing through September 25th at the Chicago Magic Lounge, which you initiated. You were the first resident artist there when it opened. It's at 5050 North Clark.
2018.
Yeah. You go to, ladies and gentlemen, just go to chicagomagiclounge.com/magicalthinking. Just go to chicagomagiclounge.com and you'll find it. David, hold on for a couple more minutes. I want to come back and talk about specifically what you're doing at the Magic Lounge.
Sounds great.
Is there a title for your show? You sometimes title your shows.
It's called Magical Thinking with David Parr.
Magical Thinking, what a great title. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Hang on, David. As is David Parr, pure bliss when it comes to magic. He is performing. Is it just on Wednesday nights, David?
Yes, it's every Wednesday through the end of September.
Good. I will be up there with a photographer soon to catch this act. Magical thinking. Describe that. Don't describe it in too much detail, but describe it to me. Describe that.
Well, I was thinking about when they contacted me at the Magic Lounge and asked if I wanted to return as an artist in residence. I was thinking about, well, what should the theme of the show be?
Mm-hmm.
And as I was thinking about it, I realized that when we use the phrase magical thinking, when you hear that phrase used, it's usually in a negative way.
Right.
That, like, that magical thinking is foolish or childish or dangerous. But I thought, well, what about the upsides of magical thinking? Right? Like, what about storytelling? What about games? These are magical endeavors, and they're positive. They're productive, and I think we need them. I mean, I think as humans, we need that feeling of awe or wonder that magic gives us.
Totally agree. How long is it? It's just you. You have performed. I've seen David perform with others in a couple shows. One at the Greenhouse some years ago. Is it just?
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's just you, eh?
Yeah, this is my solo show, and it's about 90 minutes.
Mm.
And it's a lot of fun.
Oh, I can imagine.
You know, people come to the Magic Lounge and they are primed, because it's not just the stage part of the show. There's also close-up magic at the tables while you're having drinks and food before the main stage show starts. So it's a whole evening of magical thinking.
You have been, and I think, I suppose people can go see it now, you have been on that, the Penn and Teller show. What is that show called?
Fool Us.
Fool Me? What's it called? Fool Us?
Penn and Teller Fool Us, yeah.
How did that happen? I mean, I'm sure they had heard of you and contacted you. Did you know those two distinctive guys before?
No, I had not met them, but I had, when I heard that they were casting their show, I had pitched them several ideas, and their producers rejected every one of them.
That's what producers do.
Yeah, well, they're looking for something that's good TV, so they're looking for something different from what I'm looking for, right?
Yeah, sure.
So, I thought, well, I have this one idea that I didn't pitch them, and it was a thing with cards that I figured I wouldn't pitch it to them because they'd probably seen hundreds of card tricks. And so just on the off chance, I said, oh, and there's also this. And I sent it to them, and that was the thing they went wild about.
Well, and you did. I mean, can people go online? Can people find that on YouTube or someplace?
Oh, definitely. If you search for David Parr Fool Us, or if you go on my website, which is davidparr.com, the clips from Fool Us are up there on my website.
Explain, I don't want you to give away your secrets, but both of your tricks on there that I saw, the one with two decks of cards and some charming, they're both with some, who's that woman? Is she an assistant to Penn and Teller? The woman on
that
stage?
That was Allison Hannigan, the host of the show.
Oh, okay, because I'm saying, wow, who's that? Because she's with you in both these things. The one was with two decks of cards that is really two decks of cards and a little tiny bell, and it. You said, I think on the clip, or maybe you told me some other place, that you came up with that trick when you were sadly hit by a car, right?
Yes. My leg was broken in two places.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Just crossing the street, right?
Just right outside of O'Hare Airport.
Oh, God.
and you know, everybody said, oh, this could have been much worse. But the problem was that I need a creative outlet. And so within weeks of being laid up and completely immobilized for months, I was unable to walk or drive or leave the house for 3.5 months.
Wow.
I was going stir crazy.
I'll bet.
Just crazy. Because there was nothing to focus on but how much pain I was in.
How much pain. I saw this Law & Order show at once. Rerun for the 50th time. Yeah.
Right. I was like, I better give myself a creative project to focus on, and I had this bell sitting there on my shelf gathering dust, and every once in a while I'd look at it and think, that's a cool prop, like maybe I could work that into magic somehow, and I'd move on with my life. But when I was immobilized for 3.5 months, I had nothing but time on my hands, so I was like, okay, I took that bell off the shelf and I was like, I'm going to seriously give this a try.
Wow.
And try to come up with something, and that's what led to being on Fool Us.
Well, I saw their faces. Penn and Teller were absolutely flabbergasted. They had no idea how.
They didn't even take a guess.
I know.
That was a shock to me.
I've watched that show a few times, and invariably they know what the magician did. The other trick on that show, and ladies and gentlemen, you can go and see this before you go to the Magic Lounge to see it in person. You can see some of this. Do you do those things in this show, David?
The piece that I won the Foolish Trophy with the two decks of cards and the bell has become basically like my stairway to heaven.
Oh, fabulous.
People ask, if I don't perform it, they ask why I didn't perform it. So now I always include it in every show. So
the other one sort of freaked me out, too. I don't know if it has a name, but it sort of has some kind of like little voodoo doll and a napkin and three pins. Is it called the voodoo doll trick? What's it called?
I just call it the pincushion.
Okay. And you become the pincushion, do you not?
Right, exactly. Like an old sideshow act, it looks like I'm sticking pins in my thumb. and the producers of the show knew this wasn't going to fool Penn and Teller, but they knew that Allison Hannigan, the host of the show, was squeamish.
Yeah.
And they thought, well, she's going to react. And boy, did she react.
No kidding. I thought she was going to walk off stage. I did. I thought she was
going to walk. I thought she was going to walk off stage, too. I thought she is going to run away from me. At one point, she just turned her back and refused to look at me.
Yeah, I know. You don't do that at the Magic Lounge.
That was in my old show, the show I did in 2018, The Cabinet of Curiosities.
Yeah. How do you get, again, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to David's website. David has a very nice website, davidparr.com, but also go to Chicago Magic Lounge and get in on one of the Wednesdays before the end of September to see his show, Wednesdays at 7 p.m., Magic Lounge. If you don't know, 5050 North Clark Street, and is one of the great nightlife enterprises in the history of this town. What do you think? What's the current state of magic? I know that's a big question, David. I mean, it seems very, very healthy to me.
I think so too. I think it's undergoing a renaissance and a lot of growth. And I say this because when I go to a magic convention, when I'm booked for a magic convention,
mm-hmm.
I look out in the crowd at one of my lectures or presentations. I see lots of women. Mm. I see lots of young people. And I see lots of people of color. And that means that it's growing. And it gives me a lot of hope for the future of magic.
That's great to hear. And, you know, there's just something, as I said at the outset of this interview, that I have been a fan of magic absolutely forever. And David is my favorite magician because he takes it, he understands it. And they're not so much tricks as they are part of a larger presentation.
Mystery.
Yeah.
A larger mystery.
Yeah. Who do you have any magician heroes, David?
Well, when I was growing up, Doug Henning was the most famous magician in the world.
Yeah.
This was back in the late 60s and early 70s. And he was a magician who believed in magic.
Yeah.
And he caught a lot of flack from magicians at the time, but it was really something to see him because you realized in his show that it wasn't a put-on. His whole sort of kooky, hippie persona magic is all around us was not a put-on. That was really him.
Mm.
And it made me realize, in retrospect, I look back and I think, I realized how much sincerity means in a performance.
Good point. And you are sincere in the performance. David, I am happy to know you. Look for me one Wednesday night with a Tribune photographer. And every Wednesday night, ladies and gentlemen, 5050 North Clark Street, go to davidparr2rs.com or to chicagomagiclounge.com. David, it's a pleasure always to talk to you.
Great to talk with you too, Rick.
Keep in touch. I'll see you soon. You bet.